Okay, we're starting on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph. We are about six lines down in the Rabbi Yochanan. And yesterday we were discussing what was mentioned in our Mishnah, the last couple of lines in the Mishnah, which are Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hasheretz v'ne'ala mimeno elem sheretz chayav, v'enu chayav elem mikdash. And then Rabbi Kiva Omer, v'ne'ala mimeno v'tamei, elem tumau chayav, v'enu chayav elem mikdash. So again, you have both of them with the same opinion, which is that on Helim Mikdash, you're not Chayav, and Helim Tumah, you are Chayav. So yesterday we saw the opinion of Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah said that there's a difference between them about exactly what the Yediyah has to be. Rabbi Kiva just requires a generic Yediyah, Yediyah of Tumah, whereas Rabbi Lezer requires a specific Yediyah about what Tumah that we are speaking about here. Is it Tumah Sheretz or Tumah Nevela? Now Rabbi Yochanan comes and gives a different approach to explain the Machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, and that's to say there is no Machlokas. That's Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mashmot Doshim Ika Beinayu. The difference between them is simply how they have the limud. What is their limud that Helem Tumah Yochayav for and not Helem Mikdash? But there is no nafkamina between them. They simply have the same opinion. It's just their drosha derives from a different part of the pasuk. One of them derives from the beginning of the pasuk, one from the latter half of the pasuk. V'chein Amar Rav Sheshet Mashmot Doshim Ika Beinayu. Sheshet makes the same statement. Then how do we know that Rav Sheshet even does that? Because the Rav Sheshet mafchlif Rabbi Elezer, the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elezer. The Rav Sheshet used to switch around their opinions. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elezer wasn't so careful. Well, you can only do that if you believe that there is no real difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. And that's exactly what Rabbi Sheshet believes. That it's Mashmut Torshim, but the Ikar Alocha, there is no difference in their opinion, and they both believe that it's Helem Tuma and not Helem Mikdash. Now, Boimine Rova Mirav Nachman. This is a question. Rova is asking a question of Rav Nachman in the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Helem Zeb Zeb Yado Mahu. What happens if he has Helem Tuma and Helem Mikdash? Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to the others in the Mishnah who believe that it doesn't matter, there is Helem Tumah and Helem Mikdash, either one of them make you Chayav for Korban or Levi or Eid, then it doesn't really matter. If you forget both, you forget one, we're indifferent because any type of forgetting is going to make you Chayav for Korban or Levi or Eid. Over here, for Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, there is an Afkamina. If it's the Chiyuv comes because of Helem Tumah, you bring a Korban or Levi or Eid. If your Helem comes from the Helem Mikdash, then you don't bring a carbon olive erate. So now you've forgotten both of them. How do we know which of the two is the determining factor here? How do we know whether you should bring a korban or not? So Amar le hare helem tuma biyado vechayav. He says, well, you know, at minimum, even if he doesn't have helem mikdash, he has helem tuma. So if he's helem tuma, then he's chayav. I mean, just the fact that he also has helem mikdash should not detract from the fact that he has helem tuma. And if that's the case, then he should be chayav. So he says, adarabo. Hare Helem Mikdash biyado patur? Well, he also has Helem Mikdash, and someone has Helem Mikdash is patur. So what makes you say that Helem Tumah governs over here or not Helem Mikdash? So Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, I have a test for you. I'll tell you how you know what it is. Chazinon, we see, Imi Tumah kaparish, Hare Helem Tumah biyado vechayav. Imi Mikdash kaparish, Hare Helem Mikdash biyado upatur. So Ravashi suggests, well, it depends. When he finds out the information that he knows, whether he knows it's the Tumah or whether the Mikdash, we see what is it that makes him, what is it that compels him to leave the Mikdash? Is what compels him to leave the Mikdash that he knows that he's Tameh? Or what compels him to leave the Mikdash is that he knows he's in the Mikdash? So which of those two items is the one that compels him to leave? And that will be the determining factor, whether this is Helem Tumah or Helem Mikdash. Now, truthfully, Ravashi's answer is very difficult, and the Gemara is about to ask, Ravina is about to ask on Ravashi's question, because the only reason that he has to leave is because he's Tamei in the Mikdash. I mean that the person now is found in the Mikdash. He forgot he was Tamei and he forgot it was the Mikdash. Now he finds out he's Tamei. If he just found out he was Tamei, he wouldn't be going anywhere. If he just found out it was the Mikdash, he wouldn't be going anywhere either. He has to know both items in order to have to leave the Mikdash. So Ravashi's question is somewhat difficult. Tosfot has a way, two ways of explaining it somewhat. He's saying that Ravashi is not suggesting that it's Mukhrach, that we for certain know one or the other. But there is a possibility that we could know about one or the other, and that we can ask him. We can try to determine whether it was the Tumah that reminded him about the Tumah and the Mikdash, or is it the Mikdash that reminded him of the Mikdash and the Tumah? Which one of them triggered his memory in order to bring the other one into sight? That's one possibility Tosa suggests. The other possibility Tosa says is which one came second, which is very interesting. Now, Tosa gives an answer, meaning that whatever he remembered first is irrelevant. If he remembered that he was Tameh, Okay, that doesn't do anything because he's not going to leave the Mikdash because he's Tamei. When he remembers afterwards that it's the Mikdash also, that's what compels him to leave. So that'll be the determining factor. Not the first thing that he remembers, but rather the second thing he remembers. And the same thing the other way around. If he remembers it's the Mikdash, doesn't go anywhere. Then all of a sudden he remembers he's Tamei, then he leaves. So that's Tumah, that's governing. So Tosus gives two explanations of how to understand Rav Ashi's statement. And again, to make it more palatable, what Rav Ashi is saying. But that over here he's saying again that it's not determinant. It's just that there is a possibility that we could find out this information. So we can test for it. And again, Tosfos is unsure as the test is it the second one? Whichever brings him to the Chiyuv Karban, that's which is the one that is the Ikar? Or is it the one that helps him remember multiple items, or helps him to remember, Tumah helps him remember Tumah and Mikdash, or Mikdash triggers both Tumah and Mikdash? So whichever one will govern. So now Ravina asked the question of Ravashi, which is the question that we asked on Ravashi, which is Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Klom Parish Mi Mikdash El Mishum Tumah. The only reason he leaves the Mikdash is because he's Tamei. Klom Parish Mi Tumah El Mishum Mikdash. He only leaves because he's in the Mikdash. Meaning that you can't have one Yediyah without the other Yediyah. It's impossible because one Yediyah would not compel him to act, and therefore it's either when he's Parish Mi Tumah, he's automatically Parish Mi Mikdash, and if he's Parish Mi Mikdash, he's automatically Parish Mi Tumah. Ella Lo Shna. It makes no difference which one. Makes no difference in the end. Again, the way Tosfos explained, you can come up with a compromise between the positions of Rav Ashi and Ravina, which is that in certain circumstances, Ravina's right, and in certain circumstances, Rav Ashi is right. And it just depends on the context, whether we can get the information out of him or not. What is either the compelling or the trigger, versus when we're uncertain. And we're uncertain, it means that probably both of them were the trigger, or we need both of them to be the trigger in that case, and therefore we can't determine anything from it. All right, that's the end of this piece. Now, Tarabanan. Shnei Shvilim, Echad Tamei veEchad Tohar. We have two paths. One has a mate on it, and if you walk on that path, you definitely come Tamei because you cross over the mate, you're Mahil on the mate. All right, so now you have one path that's Tamei, one path that's Tohar. Valach Birishon. He walks on one of the paths. Velo Nichnas, and he doesn't enter the Mikdash. Bisheni, then he goes into the second path. Vinichnas, and then he enters into the Mikdash. So Chayav, now he's Chayav, because Mimonov Shach is Tamei over here. He went on the first path, then he went on the second path, and we have no determination about which one made him Tamei, but we know for certain in the end that he is Tamei. So now that he's walked on both paths and enters into Mikdash, he's into the Mikdash when he's Tamei. So then we have Chayav, Karban, Ole, Vioreid. He added Diab Tumah, he forgot about his Tumah, and he entered into the Mikdash. On the other hand, Halach Birishon Vinichnas, he walked on the first path, then entered the Mikdash. He's up, right? Vishana v'taval. He was mazeh on yishlishi and shvi'i. Went to the mikveh, became tahor, right? Then v'achakach halach b'sheni. Then he walks on the second path, v'nichnas, and enters into the mikdash. Chayav. Again, he's chayav because again mimonav shach. One of the two times he entered the mikdash b'tumah. After he worked on the first path, he entered the mikdash. After he walked on the second path, he entered into the mikdash, and in between he was mitarim himself. But one of the two times he was tamei when he entered the mikdash. He's chayav at least one korban between the two instances that he entered the Mikdash, Behelem Tumah. So that's the Tanakama's position. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Poter. Shen says, no, you're Potur in this case. The Gemara will discuss why. Then along comes Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Poter Bekulan. Shimon Yehuda says, you're Potur not only in this case here, the Rabbi Shimon says, you're Potur, but even in the first case where the Tanakama says, Chayav Mishum Rabbi Shimon. He says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, he says that Rabbi Shimon argues not only in the second case, but also in the first case, that both of them, in both those instances, he would say you do not bring a korban, and that's what the Gemara is about to discuss. Now the Gemara says, Bikulan, what do you mean? Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda is poter Bikulan. I mean, we have two cases in the Mishnah. We have the first case and second case. First case is where he walks on both paths, and then he enters into the Mikdash Behelem Tumah. Second case is where he walks on one path, enters the Mikdash Behelem Tumah, then is Metaher himself, walks on the second path, enters the Mikdash, is Metaher himself. Again, the second time, Behelem Tumah. So in the first case, what is the shita? What the suggestion is, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says that even in the first case, Rabbi Shimon is going to be poter. So when it says, Bukulan, how could you say that? Even in that first case, you're going to say, what's the logic to say that he shouldn't bring a korban over here? Either way, he's tamei. He walked on the first path, he walked on the second path, he's tamei now. He's walking into the Mikdash Behelem Tumah, he's bedai tamei, and he should be chayav, a korban or levi orate. What would possess Rabbi Shimon Yehuda to say that you'd be poter in that case? So Amarovo Achabai Eskinan, what's the case over here? Kagon Shalach Birishon. He walked on the first one. Ubishah Shalach B'Sheni Shachach Shalach Birishon. The time that he walks on the second path, he forgets that he's traversed the first path. Davilei Miktzat Yediyah. Because now he has a portion of Yediyah. Meaning that he does know, in a sense, he's definitely Tamei over here. He's definitely Tamei because he walked on both paths. But when he enters the Mikdash, he doesn't have that. He doesn't remember. Man, each Yediyah that he had of walking on the paths were independent. And they were not, when he walked into the, when he had Helem Tumah, right? Then when he walked in and he forgot about the Tumah, we don't know what he forgot. Did he forget the first path? Did he forget the second path? Because when he went on the second path, he didn't remember the first path. Meaning that he never at one point in time had a Yediyah that was complete. That would have ensured that he was definitely Tamei. So now, the Gemara says, well, based on that, Ubishar Shalach B'Sheni, Shachach Shalach B'Rishon, Davile Mixat Yediyah, B'Hakam Iflagei. This is what they're arguing about. Tanakama Savar, Tanakama means here, the Tanakama in Shitat, Rabbi Shimon, who believes Rabbi Shimon agrees in the first case that you're Chayav, he says, what? Mixat Yediyah, Kichol Yediyah. A partial Yediyah is sufficient, right, to make it that it's as if you have a full Yediyah. I mean, we don't require you to have a full Yediyah at all times that you were definitely Tamei, so you know that you walked on both paths. No, we just need to know that you walked on the first path, and we need you to know that you walked on the second path. Even those two Yediyot are independent of each other, and they were never joined together to make a single Yediyah. That's fine. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Sovar, but then Rabbi Shimon Sovar over here means that Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. So Rabbi Shimon in Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying what? That even in the first case, he's saying that you're patur. Why? Because Mitzat Yediyah is not Kechol Yediyah, although Amrina and Mitzat Yediyah Kechol Yediyah. So now, based on that, Rashi explains here, it's right across from the top line in the Gemara. Rashi says, El Yediyah Tzafek, Adifahi Mihanech Yediyot Tzafek, Dehaza Vishana. What's the difference between the Yediyah in the first case and the Yediyah in the second case? Meaning, according to the way the Tanakhama is explaining Rabbi Shimon believes in the first case, Mixat Yediyah is Chayav. And then in the second case, he believes Mixat Yediyah is Patur. Why is it that the Safek in the first case does help out? And why is it the Safek in the second case does not help out? So Rashi differentiates between the two. And that is, Yediyat Safek Adifohi Mihanoch Yediyot Safek Dehazavishana. The Yediyah of Safek in the first case is better than Yediyat Safek in the second case. Why? The hotam yodele the kula milta, vafilu ochi sofeku. In the second case, even if he knows all the information, even with all that's given, he still never knows that he was tamei. He never knows which of the two times he was tamei and which of those two instances were the time that he was tamei when he entered into the Mikdash. Because he can never know. He will never know that for certain he was tamei when he entered the Mikdash, when it was the first time or if it was the second time. That's information that he will never have. So that's why that's a fake, according to Rabbi Shimon, is patur. Whereas our case over here is not like that. Of a hochi, of a yodol, the kula milta, of a yediyah vadait. If he had remembered at any point in time, had he remembered that he walked both on the first and the second path, then he would have known for certain that he was tamei, and he could have been in possession of all of that information. So in the first case, his mixat yediyah is a lack of information, but information that could be attained, and therefore mixat yediyah is kechol yediyah. Whereas in the second case, his lack of information is not because he doesn't know about some other piece of information. He knows everything, and yet he's still besafek, because he never knows. Was it the first time that he entered that he was tamei? Or was it the second time that he entered was tamei? And therefore, Rabbi Shimon will differentiate, according to the Tanakhama, between the first case where you'll say you're chayav, mixat yediyah is chayav, and the second case where you'll say the safek or mixat yediyah is patur. Right, now, the Gemara goes into the second case. Halach berishon, v'nichnas, hizah v'shana v'taval, chazar v'alach v'sheni v'nichnas, chayav. Rabbi Shimon poter, v'amai. So now, in the second case, it makes a lot of sense what Rabbi Shimon is saying, because it's safek yediyahu. He doesn't have any yediyah v'dayit. He never knows, in each instance, he never had a yediyah v'dayit that he was tamei before he went in. He was a safek tama before he entered. So is that enough? That shouldn't be enough. In order to be, you need a yediyah first, then halama, and then yediyah. Well, his yediyah was never a full yediyah. It would always be safek, because he never knew for certain that he was tamei. So he had a safek beforehand. So what's the reasoning between the Tanakhama that says you're chayav in this case? So amai chayav, safek yediyah he. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kana su safek yediyah kediyah. Yochanan believes over here that we say that the safek yediyah has a din like a full-fledged yediyah. We'll get to that in a second in the Gemara. But basically, the point of Rabbi Yochanan is that by the Diyah, by a Karbano Lever Yared, by Tumat Mikdash Uktoshav, is different than Yediyah to hold to Er Kula. Why? How do we know that you need a Yediyah B'Tchila by Tumat Mikdash Uktoshav? How do we know that you need a Yediyah B'Tchila? I'll tell you why, because it says, V'ne'elam Mimenu, he forgot. So if he forgot, that meant that he had to know at some point. But the word Yediyah is never written over there. Whereas by a case of regular chatat in the Torah, it says, oh, hoda, lav chatato, asher chata. So that means that he has hoda, he has a yediyah. So therefore, yediyah b'chol ha-Torah kula, You need a real full-fledged Yediyah. Yediyah by Tumat Mikdash Kudasha, which is only a derivative from Ne'alam that he forgot, that Yediyah doesn't need to be a full-fledged Yediyah. Any Yediyah will suffice in order to have a Halam. As long as he forgets whatever he knew, he forgets, that's enough. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Reish Lakish Amar Hamani, Rabbi Shmuel Hi. Who's the author of this Mishnah over here? It's Rabbi Shmuel. Domar Lo Binin Yediyah B'Tchila. Basically, we avoid the whole problem. The author of this Mishnah, the Tanakam over here, is Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael, we learned earlier, is of the opinion that you don't require Yediyah B'Tchila, only Yediyah B'Sof, to have or to be Chayav in a Karban Olevi Oreid. If you don't need a Yediyah B'Tchila, then it doesn't matter that it's a Safek Yediyah B'Tchila, because we don't need any Yediyah whatsoever. Right? So that's the opinion of Reish Lakish. Now, the Gemara says, Ve'rami, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan, Ve'rami, the Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish. We have a Stira in the position of Rabbi Yochanan, and we have a Stira in the position of Reish Lakish. And why is that? The Tanya. We have a Braisa. Ochol Safek Chelev. He ate something which was a Safek Chelev. Vinoda. And then he found out about that. There was a Safek Chelev. Then, again, Safek Chelev. Vinoda. And he ate another piece of Chelev that was B'Safek. So here we're talking about a case of Asham Talui. And Asham Talui is brought. And we'll just a quick little background here from the Gemara in Kritut, but a Asham Talui is brought on anything that you would bring a Chatat Kavua, which means it has to have a Chiyuv Karet B'Mezid, B'Shogeg, if you knew about it B'Shogeg, and you knew for sure you violated it, you bring a Karban Chatat Kavua. In that instance, if you're faced with a Safek, you're uncertain to us whether you violated the Isur, B'Shogeg or not, you bring an Asham Talui. It's Machlokas in the Gemara in Kritut about whether you need to have a safek, which is one of two items. You have to have shuman and chelev in front of you, or even a single item that you have a safek about will be enough. If you have a piece in front of you and you don't know if it's chelev or shuman, is that enough of a safek? So over here, he has a safek, and with that safek of eating the chelev, he's going to be chayav and asham talui. But then he remembers. He remembers that he had a safek, he ate this place, and he remembers that it was a safek chelev. Then what happens? He again eats another piece of chelev, and it's also a safek. Over here you have now, what's the din? So along comes Rabbi, and Rabbi says, Omer, k'shem shevi chatat al kol echad v'chad, kach mevi Hashem tolui al kol echad v'chad. Just like by chataot, if you have yediyah in between, you bring a chatat on each one of the halamot, or on each one of the violations, so too by Hashem tolui, if you have a safek, and then you have yediyah, and then you have a safek, you also have to bring multiple Hashemot, or an amatum Hashem tolui, on these issues. Kach, Rabbi Shim ben Yehuda, ve'Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon amru, mishum Rabbi Shimon, eino mevi al Hashem tolui echad. You only bring one Asham Talui. Why? Shenemar, al shigagato asher shagag. In the parsha of Asham Talui, it says, al shigagato asher shagag. HaTorah ribta shigagot harbei v'asham talui echad. The Torah says that there's a chiyuv of a Asham Talui, even though there are multiple shigagot. So even for multiple violations, b'safek, you will only bring a single Asham Talui. Now, what is the position of Rabbi? What did Rabbi mean? What does Rami mean? That just like by Chatat, you bring multiple Chatot, so too by Hashem Talui, you bring multiple Hashemot. So that's the Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Vama Reish Lakish, Kon Shana Rabbi. Here Rabbi learned, Yediot, Sfekot, Milchalkot, Lichatot. Rabbi Reish Lakish says, from here, I can tell you that a Yediah of a Safek is Michaleket for Chatot. So this is the explanation according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, and that's what Rashi says. V'achi kamar Rabbi, kishi yivada lo lachar zman shechelev haya. If after a certain amount of time he remembers that he had chelev, yavi chatat al kol echad ve'echad. So he'll bring a chatat on each one of them. Shidiat safek shaita lo ben time michal katam. Tolon havi shnei zeitei chelev be'elem echad. So over here, what happens if he remembers? At this point in time, he's uncertain as to the fact whether he ate chelev or not. It was a safek. And then he has a yediyah, that yediyah in between was simply that he wasn't certain about whether he ate chelev. Then afterwards, he goes and eats another piece, and again, with that same uncertainty. A year later, he remembers that it really was chelev, and he's certain now it's chelev. Does he bring one chatat or two chataot? So Reish Lakish says, that's what Rebbe's saying. Rebbe's saying, you bring two chataot over here. Why do you bring two chataot? Because a safek yediyah is a yediyah. That's the position of Rabbi. Rabbi says that enough, that you know that you have a suffix that you ate chelev, that's enough for yediyah to be mechaleket between regular chataot. So just like a safek yediyah is enough to be mechaleket by chataot, it's also enough to be mechaleket by ashamot, asham talui. I mean, that's a din. Safek yediyah is a din in yediyah. All right, now, Rabbi Yochanan Mar, Kishem shidiyot vadai ba'alma mitchalkot l'chataot, kach yediyot safek mitchalkot ashamot. Just like a yediyat vadai, when you know something in certainty, that is Michalek by Chataot. so too by Asham Talui, which comes on a Safek, then the idea of the Safek is enough to be Mechaleket in the Ashamot. So now, this is a steer in each of their opinions. Rabbi Yochanan before said Safek Yidiyah is like a fully-fledged Yidiyah. And now, sitting over here, Rabbi Yochanan saying, no, Safek Yidiyah is not good enough by a Chataot. Safek Yidiyah works by a Shamot, but it doesn't work by a Sham Talui, but it doesn't work by a regular Chatat. So that's the steer in Rabbi Yochanan. And Rish Lakish is the steer. Rish Lakish isn't willing to accept the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan in explaining the Breita that we brought before, and he says, no, Rabbi Shmuel is the author of that Breita. Rabbi Shmuel is the author of Mishnah that doesn't require Yidiyah B'tchila. Wait, if you believe that Yidiyah B'Safek is enough, then why do I need Rabbi Shmuel to be the author of the Mishnah? Rabbi could be the author of that Mishnah. Rabbi says, Safek Yidiyah is enough to be Mechaleket between Chatot. So if you have Safek Yidiyah Mechaleket, then Rabbi could be the author of that Mishnah before that says, by Safek Yidiyah, that's enough to be Mechayev you in a Chatot, it'll be enough to Mechayev you in an Olah Karban Olah V'Yareid. And that's what now the Gemara is going to explain how we reconcile between these. Bishloma de Rabbi Yochanan, de Rabbi Yochanan lo kasho. Rabbi Yochanan's not a kasho. And this is what we explained before. Kan asu, velo b'chol ha-Torah kula asu. That Rabbi Yochanan's din is unique to Korban Olah V'Yareid and not true b'chol ha-Torah kula. Why? Hachohu dolo k'tiva yidiyah behedya. By the Korban Olah V'Yareid, by Tumat Mikdash Kodesh Av, there's no explicit din of Yediyah that's mentioned in the postbook, but rather min elamhu dekaati. We learn now from an inference that he forgot, that must mean that he had some sort of Yediyah. But that's not true. B'chol ha-Torah kula, v'lo b'chol ha-Torah kula, asuk dichtiv odah lav. Right, there's a specific word Yediyah, and the demand for Yediyah is a full-fledged Yediyah. So then Yediyah ma'aliyato, but you know, and therefore we need a full-fledged Yediyah over here. So that explains the steer, and Rabbi Yochanan actually explains Rabbi Yochanan Shita in general. Safek Yediyah is only applicable by Korban Olah V'Yareid because there's no demand of Yediyah. There's no explicit word of Yediyah on the Pasuk. Whereas by Chatot, regular Chatot, where there is a specific demand for Yediyah on the Pasuk, that requires a full-fledged Yediyah. All right, now, Ela the Reish Lakish. So by Reish Lakish, you have a steer. Why? The Mukmilek Rabbi Shmuel, Nukmek Rabbi. Why is he setting up the Brisa before as the Tanakama being Rabbi Shmuel, who doesn't require Yediyah B'Tchila? Make it Rabbi. Rabbi says Safek Yediyah is enough. Safek Yediyah is enough. And Reish Lakish believes that according to Rabbi, Safek Yediyah is enough to be Mechalek in Chatot, enough to be Mechalek in Hashemot, and it's enough to be Mechalek in Korban Olah V'Yareid also. So why don't we just say Safek Yediyah, Ki Yediyah, according to Rabbi, and Rabbi will be the author of the Brisa before. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, the Rabbi Shmuel, lo bayed b'tchilah b'tchilah. Reish Lakish wanted to teach us that Rabbi Shmuel does not require yediyah b'tchilah. Where it says, wait a minute, pshita to lo bay. Of course, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't require yediyah b'tchilah because he has nowhere to learn it from. How do we know that you need yediyah b'tchilah? Well, we have the pasuk, the extra word v'ne'alam. It says v'ne'alam yimenu twice by the Korban Olah V'Yareid by Tumat Mikdash Kutashav. One ne'alam comes to teach me about the yediyah b'tchilah. And the other Ne'alam comes to teach me about the halamot of whether it's the dinim, either the core halama, or whether it teaches me about the yediyah afterwards. Right? We saw that Gemara earlier. But Rabbi Shmuel requires both halamot. Why? Because in the last line of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel says in the last line of our Mishnah that you're chayav both helim tuma and helim mikdash, because it says halam twice. It says Ne'alam twice. Well, he uses both halamot already. He has one Ne'alam for mikdash, one Ne'alam for tameh. Well, if he uses both of those up already, then he has nothing to teach you about Yediyah B'Tchilah. So, of course, he doesn't hold of that. Pshita lo ba'emid lo mi'aychu le'kray. V'ne'elam de'michayev ha'lam mikdash. And therefore, there's nothing left over. So, Gemara says, no. Ma'u du'teima ki le'le mi'kray. Yavo mi'gmar itle. Maybe I thought from the psukim he can't learn it down. He doesn't learn out Yediyah B'Tchilah. But he has a mesorah. Aloch le'moshe mi'sinai. He has a mesorah. That there is such thing as Yediyah B'Tchilah, Kamash Balon. Reish Lakish comes to teach us, no. That Rabbi Shmuel believes full fledged. That ain't Yediyah B'Tchila, according to Rabbi Yishmael. All right, now, we're going to be in, I'll be in quickly the new Perek, and just give them, and then we'll spend more time on it, both on Shabbos' daf, you spend a little time on it, as well as on Sunday's daf. So here, Shvot Shtayim Shein Arba. What is this? This is going back, I mean, we started, this is the Masechet Shvot, here we start Masechet Shvot. The first two Prakim dealt with the other tangents in the Mishnah, which were Yediyah Tutuma and the Nigayim. Now, the Shtayim Shein Arba by Shvot is this. By Shvot HaBitui, you have Shvot Shtayim Shein Arba. What is it? Shvua Shu'ochal V'Shelo Ochal. It says the Shvot that I will eat, and that I will not eat. All right, so those are the two that are found in the pasuk. The pasuk says the hara ul heitiv. The hara heitiv is in the future tense, One positive statement, one negative statement. So ochal is the positive statement. Lo ochal is the negative statement. What's the arba? What are the additional two? The additional two is archalti vishlo achalti, which we'll learn in the Gemara where they derive that from. But those are the additional two that make up four, which is that the shvua she'achalti that I did eat, and shvua she'lo achalti that I did not eat. Shvua she'lo ochal, if a person makes a shvua that he will not eat, ve'achal, and then he goes and eats, ve'achal koshu, eats even the smallest amount, then chayav, divrei Rabbi Akiva, then he's chayav, according to Rabbi Akiva, he does not require you to have achila like kezayis. It doesn't require the kezayis, b'chol atura kula, as Rashi, we'll see in a second, Rashi explains, because this is a unique case. So what's we'll see that uniqueness in a second. Amru lo Rabbi Akiva, eche matzino ba'uchel koshu shu chayav, where do we find anywhere in the Torah when you eat that you're chayav for less than a kezayit? I mean that there's always a minimum share of what's considered or classified as achila. So over here, how could you make him chayav for something that's less than that minimum amount? So Amar lehem Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says then, b'chiyechen matzinu b'midaberu mevi karban. Since when do we find somewhere in the Torah that someone could speak and then obligate himself in a korban? I mean that where can he, by making a statement, he can obligate himself now to bring a korban. Usually the korban is because he did something, the Torah tells us something, and then you do something, when you violate that which the Torah says, you bring a korban. Here, he creates the isur, and then he brings the korban because he created the only isur. That's an exceptional case. Well, if he created an isur, and he can bring a korban, well, then he can also create an isur and be chayav b'koshu. So, eich matzinu medaber mevi korban, shezem medaber mevi korban. So, if you look in Rashi, Rashi explains, well, where do we find that bitul diburo brings a korban in the Torah? So, over here, shomer lo ochel datu lo serets mo b'koshu. Now, a person who says shua shelo ochal is not saying simply, I don't want to eat achila like the Torah, but he's saying that I'm making this something into, I'm creating an isur that does not exist b'chol Torah kula. If an isur doesn't exist b'chol Torah kula, it's not subject to the rules of Torah, of kzayit and achila. It's subject to the rules of the person who's speaking, who says, I don't want to eat it. I don't want to eat it means I don't want to eat any piece of it, nothing at all, and that's even a kolchuhu. So now, the memra, from this you would say, from the Mishnah, when it says shvua she'ochal, that I take a shvua that I will eat, that means that I mean to eat. Ochal means I will eat. Is that really true? Right. Wait. Vermini, we have a brisa, right, that says shvua lo ochal lecha, shvua she'ochal lecha, lo shvua she'lo ochal lecha asur. In all these cases, he's asur to eat. So let's explain each one of these. If he says shvua lo achal lecha, that's easy to understand. If he says a shvua that I won't eat from you, from your stuff, that's easy to understand why he's asur. But then he says shvua she'ochal lecha. If he says shvua that I will eat from your stuff, right? So then why over there is he chayav, or is he obligated not to eat? I mean, you said in our Mishnah ochal means I will eat. So shvua she'ochal lecha means shvua I will eat, but that's not what it means over there. Over there means I will not eat. So you see, the word ochal does not mean I will eat, but rather I will not eat. So that's what, if you look in Rashi, shvua she'ochalach is be'isur shvua yeh alai ma she'ochal mishalacha. That I will be isur shvua, there will be an isur shvua on me, what I eat from you, which means that I'm asuring what I eat from you. But it means it's a negative statement, not a positive statement. And then the last statement also, lo shvua lo ochalacha, means that the inference from that is, rather, not I will have not a shvua from what I don't eat from you. But that means I will have a shvua on what I do eat from you. So that's the way to read that braita. So how do we reconcile between the shvua she'ochal lecha in our mishnah, shvua she'ochal in our mishnah, and the shvua she'ochal lecha in the braisa that we're bringing? So Rabbi Olam dachilna mashma. So no, she'ochal means I will eat, and it means to eat. What are you going to do with the braisa? Lo kasha. Kan b'sarvim bo le'chol, kan b'shevim b'sarvim bo le'chol. It's all about the context in which he's taking this shvua. Bimat nitan in our Mishnah b'shein misarvin b'le'chol. Nobody's compelling him or saying to him, please eat, please eat, please eat. Then when he says shvua she'ochal means that I'm taking a shvua that I will eat. On the braita, on the other hand, it's misarvin b'le'chol. That they're pressuring him, they're saying, you got to eat, you got to come to the party, you got to eat with us, you got to sit down with us. So then, in that context, for karma, lo achilna, lo achilna, he keeps saying, I'm not going to eat with you, I'm not going to eat with you. And then, chika mishtaba, then when he takes the shvua, he says, shvua she'ochal lecha, that means, achi kamar, shvua she'lo ochal. Because in the context in which he's speaking, the statement of shvua she'ochal lecha really means, I'm not going to eat. He's basically saying, I'm not going to eat, shvua she'ochal lecha, I take a shvua that I won't eat with you. So in that context, ochal means lo ochal. But in general, the word ochal does mean the positive statement of eating. Rav Ashi Amar, t'nei, that you can actually amend the braisa to read like this. Shvua she'i ochel lecha. That not that it says shvua she'ochel lecha, but rather she'i ochel lecha. So Gemara says, Yochi Maimala Emra, what's the Chiddush? She Yochelacha means I will not eat. E, right? E is the negative statement. So Gemara says, Maudu Tema Lishna di Itkilale. It's a light form of a Lashon. E is not a real statement of low. It's a statement, it's a, like a light form. Maybe he tripped up, he made a little noise that it said it, but not that it's a real statement. Kamash Malon, that E really means a negative statement over here. So just before we finish up, I just take 2 minutes here. It's very important that Rashi, that we read on the Mishnah, Rashi on the Mishnah says that when we said, on the Brisa said before, Shvo Shochalacha, he says, how do I explain what it means, Shvo Shochalacha? So Rashi says, Shvo Shochalacha means, Be Iser Shvoa Yehei Alai. It'll be on me, Ma Shochel Mishocha, what I eat from you. So now, where is that Iser? Is the Iser on the Gavra, or is the Iser on the Chepta? So in Rashi, it sounds like the Iser is on the Chepta, and we're going to see in tomorrow's daf as well. I'm sure you'll hear it tomorrow's daf with Rabbi David. That also, again, that the when he's Mavate the Shvua, Rashi over here explains that the Shvua, again, is he's talking about the object. And he's thinking Shvua about an object. Now, the Gemara in Nidarim makes a clear distinction between Shvot and Nidarim. By Shvot, the Shvot is on the Gavra. By Nidarim, the Neder is on the Chepta. Yet over here, Rashi is creating a Shvua that goes on the Chepta. And how could that be? So it turns out that it happens to be a machloket harishonim in the Gemara Nidarim. The Ran in the beginning of Nidarim brings down this shita and the shita of the Rach and the Riyah bin Migash and the Rashbai is that if you take a shvua b'lashon neder, it's not chal. It doesn't work at all. You take a shvua b'lashon neder, it doesn't work because shvua works for gavra. Neder works for Chepza. If you try to take a Shavua on a Chepza, it doesn't work because you're mixing and matching. That's the Shita of those Rishonim. On the other hand, the Ramban has a Shita. The Ramban says, no, that if you take a Shavua B'Lashon Neder, it becomes like a Yad. It's a Yad L'Neder. Shavua B'Lashon Neder is a Yad L'Neder or is a Yad L'Shavua, and it basically forms or formulates like a Shavua. It's a Shavua, even though you're taking a Lashon Neder, it manifests itself as a Shon of Shavua, and therefore it's an Isser Gavra and not an Isser Chepza. So if you take a Shavua B'Lashon Neder, even though you use the term of Chepza and the term of Neder, nevertheless it remains a Shavua because it's a Yad. You're using a Yad, the Shavua, and that's how you accomplish it. The Baal HaMor has a very interesting Shita. The Baal HaMor has a Shita that if you take a Shavua B'Lashon Neder, the Shavua is Chal on the Chepza. Why is that a nafka? What's a nafka mina? The nafka mina is whether you can be oker a mitzvah. We know that you're not allowed to take a shvua against the Torah because you're mushvav omed mihar sinai. That's true of a shvua. But when it comes to a neder, you're allowed to take a neder because you're just asering the chayfetz, not the mitzvah. And therefore, you can ask her the sukkah, you can ask her the ochel on you, and therefore, you're allowed to do that even though it will cause you not to be able to accomplish the mitzvah. So the difference between a shvua neder is whether it can be undermine a mitzvah. So the Baal HaMor says if you take a shvua b'lashon neder, it will undermine a mitzvah. A shvua b'lashon neder is chal on the chepza. You can have a shvua on chepza. So you really have three opinions about a shvua that's taken b'lashon neder. Those rishonim like the Rach, the Rashba, and the Ribi Migash all hold that a shvua b'lashon neder doesn't work. Period. It's done. You have the Rambam on the other hand who says shvua b'lashon neder is a shvua. It's a shvua even though it's stipulated like a chepza on the chepza because that's just a yad l'shvua. The Baal HaMor is the other extreme, which is that what? A shvua b'lashon neder is a shvua on the chepza. It's so good that it's a shvua on the chepza that it can be even oker a mitzvah. And you see, Rashi over here sounds like the Baal HaMor. Rashi over here says that when he says shvua shochelacha, he says be'isur shvua yelai ma shochel mishocha. He says that the shvua is chal. Even though it's a lashon neder, it's chal on the food of this individual. It's chal on the chepza. So it sounds like a Rashi, like the Baal HaMor, that you can take a shvua b'lashon neder, but a shvua b'lashon neder will end up being on what? Chal on the chepza itself, and therefore it could even undermine or be oker a mitzvah when you take that when you take it on a chepza, a shvua on a chepza. Okay, we'll stop over here, and have a good Shabbos, and we should only hear Besorah Tovot.